I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Chang.
And we're too damn young to be this damn confused.
I thought MCM was a new party drug.
I thought taking an L was a sex position.
Isn't Salt Bay a town on Long Island?
We don't know,
but we do care.
So we're talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
We are doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you.
Because let's face it,
you want to be less old too.
O-M-F-G.
Well, hi, Deanna.
Hi, Emily.
How are you today?
I'm good. I wanted to get you caught up to the storyline that was my Warby Parker purchase.
I've been losing sleep.
Yeah.
So this is very important. Let's get there.
Okay, so ordered a box, tried them on. Listen, this is a new way to do things. This is not a standard purchasing process.
Circa 2009, but yes.
Okay, well, within reason.
Yeah.
So I tried them on. The frames, as you remember, they were too strong for my face.
It was a strong frame.
It's a very strong and an uncomfortably strong
frame. It was just
frame.
A little bit too wide.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it was also a thick,
very thick
frame.
Yeah.
So that box, you slap a label. Again, this is for the – not everyone has been caught up to these new ways to purchase glasses.
Okay.
At a price point that is delightful.
Let's bring it there.
Okay. So that box, slap a label, it goes back.
Send it back. You get new ones.
I got new ones. And I tried those on.
And?
Too small. All of them too small. So now I don't know what to do because it's now getting like, okay.
I'm going
to
fix all your problems.
I did that.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
I marched myself to
We live in a city where there happen to be several actual Warby Parker stores that you can visit.
But I really wanted to live in the moment and sort of have the full experience of it.
Yeah.
But I also now would like to
just
see.
Have glasses.
Yeah. So I went in, 1, 2, 3. Found a fantastic pair.
Oh, blessed be.
They're coming to me via the mail.
Mm-hmm. That's how they come.
Out the door, 125, with a thinner lens because of my bad prescription.
See, this is good stuff.
This is, and we have a guest on today. We have a fantastic guest. Paul Scheer.
Woo! Woo!
He is a gentleman. I've known Paul for 15 some odd years now. And he is someone who I think he was like hot on like getting followers and communicating with his fans before that was even like a thing to do.
Yes. I agree. The only way I know this is through you telling me like, oh, Paul said we should check out blank new hot app. And I'm like, how does he know all this
stuff? Oh, yeah. He is on stuff really quickly. He doesn't have the fear that others, like adults, normal, like regular adults have about trying new shit.
I have the fear. You have it less than I do. Paul has it the least.
He's on it.
Okay.
So you know Paul Scheer. He's on ABC's Fresh Off the Boat. He's on The League. He did Hulu's Hot Wives as a producer and on that. He has a great, super fun show called Drive Share with Rob Hubel that he created, and it's on go90.com. Something fresh.
Also, my favorite thing that I've ever seen Paul do my life are Sheerio Paul. It's just like heartthrobs for life.
Explain our Sheerio Paul.
Well, maybe we should let Paul come in.
Great.
And, well, I'll explain it in front of him.
Great. Great.
Hi, Paul.
Hey.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very excited. I am a fan of your podcast.
Stop it.
Excited to be here and excited to talk to you. I'm curious, though, because I didn't realize that you have more of the fear than Deanna.
Emily, yes, I do. I really
I know your
do.
Name.
What? Oh, no, I know. But for the listeners.
Well, I would assume that if I said more than Deanna, they wouldn't be like, well, who? A third? A random third?
They don't know me as well as they know her.
What a good start.
No, I didn't. So you, what is it about... Like, why? I'm curious about that. I know I'm on here to talk about stuff, but I want to know what is, why do you have the fear?
You know, I it started mainly as like annoyance a little bit, where it was like, oh, I have to sign up for a new thing and like gain all these new followers and it feels exhausting. And then Snapchat happened. And I was like, not only is it difficult for me to navigate this site, but it's like making me feel sad inside about like my inability to interact with this interface.
That's so important.
I will say that Snapchat had a steeper learning curve than any other newer piece of technology that I kind of had jumped into. I was like, oh, why does this, like, it didn't feel as user-friendly.
Yes, and thank you for saying that. Thank you, because I feel like you just gave me a hug.
No, well, you know, like I think that my whole thing is that I jump into things right away, and I have found myself getting into things before anyone knows what they are and then getting bored of those things. Mm. Like, I was doing Bitmojis. I got tired of Bitmojis. Mm. And then everyone started doing Bitmojis. Like, I guess I got
to bring my Bitmoji back. Oh.
But I was already done with it by the time, like, I was kind of come around. Like, so there are, like, things, like, when I hear about something, like, Snapchat was one, Instagram stories, like, I started doing that early on. But now I'm actually back on Instagram. We were talking about this the other day. I'm having a little bit of a hard time right now between Snapchat and Instagram and going, where do you want to focus on there?
Sure.
Because I kind of like that everything's all inclusive in Instagram, but I do like those face filters and in Snapchat. It's pretty fun.
You really can't have it all right now in either app.
Now, why would Instagram not have face filters?
And I feel that, like, it's not just days before they steal everything from Snapchat.
Okay.
I feel like it's sort of like, if they did it all right out of the gate, it would be like you're ripping off Snapchat. But because if they do it nice and slow, it will come
you
in.
You get comfortable with it, and then you're like, oh, a new additional feature.
Exactly.
Oh, that is like Snapchat. But it
doesn't feel like it was introduced as a direct competitor to Snapchat, which it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And can they both live?
This is where I feel like you would need, a young 20-something to tell you that. I don't know. I've talked to some social media people. They said Instagram will win out. I think it's more built into people's thing.
Well, you had it first, and you had your followers, and you had, so you've already established this life on Instagram.
And it's already there, and if you would be, like, what I find the most annoying with Snapchat is, like, I can't easily just, like, watch everything. I have to, like, click, and it takes a longer time to load for me. And it just feels like there's a barrier to, like, the scrolling feature of a Twitter or an Instagram. And I feel like even Instagram stories just move way better than, at least in my experience with Snapchat.
Yeah. See, I have my two nieces who are in their 20s, and they are Snapchat ride or die. They're not really in Instagram.
But is that because they're sending it to each other? Are they having personal, private conversations?
They're sending it to, like, they'll send it to me, and then I can just see what they're up to.
But is it in their feed, or is it in their...
See, the way I do Snapchat is that they'll send me a direct something, and I look at that.
You see, that, I think, is where Snapchat will live, like, in that world, because that's, like, a little bit more of, like, where it originated from. But I feel like the Twitter or the scrolling feature of it. I hope this is not too boring.
It makes it, that's what I kind of like.
I like just seeing what people are doing in a very quick way. I don't need to send like 24-hour disappearing messages. I'm married. I have two children. I'm not flirting with anyone. I don't need to see anything that untoward, So I feel like I can, I'm better served in seeing it that way.
What I feel about why I think Snapchat has a place is because I think it feels like youths are there and there's no one, they're not like messing with, they're messing with this one aunt, but they're not like, it's not filled with relatives and
your parents.
Well, the whole thing with Instagram, it's like, oh, I forget the term for it, but you have that fake account, like all the kids have the fake account.
Yes.
I forget that name now, but it's like, so that is something that I'm really fascinated with, the seedy underbelly of Instagram, where everybody has their fake names, so their parents, their grandparents, everybody can't follow them.
Well, and there's things in there that we've seen that are, like, so upsetting.
Really?
There's, like, for people who have eating disorders.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
There is, if you search the hashtag Anna.
Ooh, I don't want
to. Well, I know, but we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
There's, you know, emaciated girls. I know. But this is what, for Anna, right. for anorexia.
Yeah.
And what's the bulimia one?
I
forget. But there's a whole, what's so terrifying is that there's a cult, you don't search hashtags.
I know, but I should. Maybe I should. Maybe I shouldn't after this. I'm kind of upset by it.
I search hashtags.
Yeah,
I like to.
Yeah.
And I will look sometimes. I've had to look because I want to see what's going on because you have to see. And there's a warning. When you go to search Anna, there's a warning that pops up about eating disorders. Ooh. And, like, if you have a problem, here's a number to call.
Ooh, wow, so they're aware.
Right, but it's a world where they're sharing tips with each other. And
I don't like any of this.
I know.
If you eat an apple at 2 p.m., it's really sad.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, but that's all social media, right? I mean, to a certain degree, like, it's going to, like, you can find the seedy underbelly of everything.
You can find the worst things in the world.
Well, you know, I know we're not just here to talk about Instagram and Snapchat. I will say that I have always been an early adopter since I was a kid, for better or for worse. And a lot of the times,
for worse.
Because it's like I had when everyone was having, like, a Nintendo 64. I had a Genesis. And Genesis wasn't as cool.
Right. No, you were behind.
As Nintendo. Like, so I always picked the wrong video game system. That.
Okay.
3DO. I had a thing called the 3DO. While never heard superior, of that. Not not enough games. Not enough
Says
people
Paul.
Had it.
Okay.
Well, it was like the one that had the better graphics, the cooler things, but it didn't make a difference because everyone had the Nintendo thing, and right. then. I had a Laserdisc player, you know, Laserdisc player over, you know, I mean, Laserdisc player over nothing because it was just sort of like.
It was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was basically a Laserdisc player is a giant version of a DVD player. It's like almost a vinyl sized disc that you're putting in a thing and you're watching a movie. And the first ones, you'd have to stop mid movie, flip the disc, and then watch the second half. And then the better ones started to flip themselves, which was, you know, pretty, you know.
Like, sweet.
So I got into a lot of stuff early, and I feel like I'm there to kind of, you know, I think the trap that you fall into is a lot of the earlier stuff is the better version of things. Like, Beta is better than VHS, but VHS took off. Like, I never got a Beta machine. But, like, that kind of, like, and, you know, I got, like, the HD DVD, not the Blu-ray, because I had the Xbox, and that came with HD DVD, and that, like, lasted for about 8 months, and then it was,
and
like,
Blu-ray
everyone
Blu-ray.
It's a real journey of failures, I feel.
No, there's a lot of, like,
you
know.
Sad?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, there's a lot of ups and downs in being an early adopter, but then there's a lot of success. I felt like I was on Tumblr before anyone was on Tumblr.
Tumblr?
I was when it first started because I was making a website. I met with this guy, Jacob Lodwick, who was part of the College Humor Collective. And he's like, why are you making a website? Websites are dead. Tumblr is where it's at.
Wow.
Tumblr is – and that was, you know, Tumblr is basically the precursor to Twitter.
Right.
You know, so he got me into that. And Tumblr was really great because it was like his whole thing was – and this is, I think, a thing I think about all the time. He's like – it's an alive technology. Websites are supposed to be alive. There's no reason for you to go back. There's no reason for you to see anything if it's stagnant. So it should be populated with new stuff all the time. And that's what Tumblr was able to do. You follow a stream of websites. You're not just going to, like, bookmarks. And that became really cool. And then when we were a part of Human Giant for an MTV Music Awards or Movie Awards, one of the two, they gave us Twitter accounts. They're like, here's your Twitter accounts. And we were the first people that had Twitter
accounts. Are you
serious? Like, what is this?
What year is that? Like, when was that?
I would say it's about, like, 9 years ago. Okay. Or no, it was about, like, 2005, 2004, like, in that zone. Okay. So I don't know if, you know, Twitter had been out, but no one else had it. So what they did for that MTV Movie Awards was let our tweets be up on screen during the show. So we were tweeting all this kind of crazy stuff. But that was, like, but then I had it, and then after the Movie Awards, I didn't think anything of it. It just never
sat there.
Right.
Yeah, never did anything with it again. And then, like, 2 years later, it became, like, Twitter, you know? So there's been, you know, and I also feel like you got to get your name. You got to grab your name. So the minute you hear about these things, you got to jump on it.
Which you, to the best, your credit, you have grabbed your name.
Oh, I grabbed my name.
You grab the hell out of your name.
Oh, I grabbed my name because it's like, because you don't know what's going to take off. You got to get that. You got to get that thing, you know?
As a Deanna Chang, I'm finding I can grab my name a little bit
quicker. That Deanna Chang is a good one. Yeah, you're not going to have a problem with it. And mine is not bad. There is apparently a band called Sheer, German band called Sheer, which has caused some problems. And then there's another, there's a political writer named Paul Sheer who sometimes will pop up. So there's a little bit of crossing, you know. But like I couldn't get, like I was actively against Gmail for whatever reason. Like I was like, I'm not into this.
And screw and, this free amazing email system.
I'm sticking with my Mac mail, which I still proudly have. And I, but then later on, I tried to grab Paul Scheer. Can't get it.
Oh
no,
yeah, you can't get it. Can't
see,
get
you learn. So, you know what you need to do.
Yeah. So
and I, then you didn't listen to yourself.
Yeah. So I try to grab my name whenever I can, kind of see a thing, just to get it before you know it pops.
Who knows
up.
What's going to happen?
You don't know.
So. Really quick, when you were talking about Blu-rays and Laserdiscs, do you remember sending me a text to get – you were like
well, – oh,
for
my gosh.
What can you – I can't come up with the details. All I know is I went out and bought a Blu-ray disc.
Oh, wait. Is this something different? I thought this was different than what – that text I sent you about like – the DVDs or something like that. Okay, no.
No, this is like as a joke, and we,
I think it is a joke. I think we're talking about the same exact thing.
You were like, I was like, do you need anything? I was at Albertson's or something.
Yes. Oh,
and
yes.
You were like, I need a Blu-ray of The Rock or whatever.
I was sick, and Deanna texted me like, do you need anything? And I said, yeah, a Blu-ray of Magic Mike.
Yes.
And that's what I wrote. And then you got it.
I
got it. You need that? I mean, that's what you need right now.
It was so sweet, but I thought it was so clearly a joke. Like, why would I need a Blu-ray of Magic Mike?
But did you try it? Did you watch it?
I did not watch Magic Mike. And, you know.
You did need it.
You know, maybe I did. Maybe I. Look.
But you need the Blu-ray player, which you didn't have.
Yeah. I have a Blu-ray player now. Okay. I have Blu-ray players. I also have a 3D TV. That's another.
You do.
Whoa.
My TV is 3D.
Whoa.
I had a 3D. I mean, I get into this shit. Yeah. I get, like, I have a 3D TV. I had a 3D DVD. I do have virtual reality right now. So I have three different virtual reality
Can
things.
We talk through just the boxes that you buy for your face? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, that's one. That's okay. The boxes. Google Cardboard, right? Which is great. Simple, easy, and probably the most effective Blu-ray. But that's video virtual reality. So that's basically like shooting something with a 360 camera. So you're watching essentially a piece. And you're watching a movie. Like you're watching a film, but you can look in any given direction. Right? So that's like that, from what I understand, is a very poo-pooed level of virtual reality.
I've heard it's not great.
Okay,
it's
so hold on 1 second because I need clarity. What is poo-pooed?
Well, like just simply video virtual reality.
Meaning it's a 360-degree camera is shooting something.
Yes. So
and
it could
then you
be
put
like
the glasses on.
You're at 8H at SNL and you're watching like Jerry Seinfeld do a monologue, or you are like in New York City and on the top of a building. Like simple stuff. It's like little 5-minute videos.
Right. Got
360
it.
Panoramic, but it's flawless. You can like you're literally in that environment. And that is in the VR community, at least what I've seen. It's like, yeah, that's fine. It's fine. It's not like what VR is about. And then
right. It feels like marijuana. Like a gateway drug.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, I love those things. Like there's a great one called Catatonic that I love that I try to show everybody when I get into that virtual reality thing. Then the next level is I have like a which is just a better version of Cardboard. It's like a Samsung Gear, which is kind of like the Google Pixel. So that's more of a built-in headset that has a little remote on it. You can kind of do a little bit more stuff on it. You can watch Netflix in virtual reality. So you're in a little cabin. You can be watching, you can be watching a bigger screen TV. And the cool thing about that, and I was so down on it when someone first showed it to me, but they were like, oh yeah, you can watch movies on here. And I was like, why would I want to
watch? Yeah, why do I want to put a large piece of like a giant goggle on my face?
And then you put it on and it's like, oh, it's because it's like I'm watching it on an IMAX screen. Like because the perspective of it is way different. So you're seeing it. It's a trick of your eye. It's like you're in a movie theater. So you're looking at it in a much bigger way. So it is a little bit more impressive. And look, they have a million other things there besides that. You have like games and stuff like that.
Have you gotten any pushback when you put those goggles on in your home?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Well, yeah, 100%. But my wife, it seems to feel fallen in the Emily camp of not adopting technology. Because now what I've upgraded, so I have those two. Then the third is full on, I have a Vive. And a Vive
Oh my gosh, I've never even heard this word.
The Vive is the headset. It's the Vive and Oculus are the two rivals right now.
Oh my gosh.
So there's Vive, Oculus, and then a PSVR. And the PSVR is, you attach it to your PlayStation. It's good. It's more for gaming. It's fine.
Okay.
It makes people a little bit nauseous, but it's good.
And all of these things you're talking about are glasses?
Well, they're all levels of glasses. So the PSVR, you're wearing that and you're using your PlayStation controller.
Joystick.
Right, yeah, your hand controller. Yeah, okay. Nobody says joystick.
Yeah, anymore.
Joystick is a little
That's like Atari, right?
Yeah. And so then the Vive and the Oculus are headsets, full-on headsets that, you know, you have your earbuds in, you're fully immersed, and it's a lot more of a gaming experience.
Okay.
And those are really, really fun. And there's a thing called, and this is the thing I always try to introduce people to, called Tilt Brush. So Tilt Brush, you go into this world and you can draw. And it's like you're on the moon, you're in the woods, and you have, in one hand, you can pick whatever you want, spray paint, a felt tip marker, you know, snow, like fire. You can, whatever you want to paint with, and you can pick your color of it, and then you can kind of draw a giant 3D environment that you're, and you can like walk around and be in that environment.
What if your skills aren't good to draw?
That's okay because it's still super fulfilling. It's like, you could just be doodling around. It's just like, it's just doing that in a large scale space is kind of really fun.
So you have three, in your home, you have three different versions of these VR glasses.
But two live in the closet. Like two are okay. Two are like you take them out for the occasion. One is more set up in my outer office.
Okay. And you're a very busy human being.
Yes.
How much time are you getting with these glasses?
Not much. It depends. Like if everyone's out of town or everyone's asleep, it becomes the time
when
to
you
do
get
it.
In there.
Yeah, but it's like it is fun. I feel like I always find something else to do ultimately only because I don't have a lot of disposable time to just I think it's really perfect for the single man who gets high a lot. I feel like that's
and you're
a
in.
Or woman, sorry. Like it's for like that kind of lifestyle. It's perfect for.
And now, when you're in the glasses, are you imagining
naked.
That you are a single man who's high out of his mind?
You know, I think what you do is like, I think what is kind of fun about it is you really can get lost in it. There was one game that I love. Justin Roiland, who does Rick and Morty, has this game called Accounting. And the game starts off and you're in an accounting office. And you basically have these two British men
insane.
Yelling at you the entire
what
time.
What are
then,
you saying?
And the game just goes insane from there. You get killed. You go into a world. You have to like perform surgery on someone. You get put on trial. It's like, it's really super funny. And you get so like, I think what I do is like, you could be in there for such a long time because there's so many things to do. Like there's an NBA 2K17 game where you can just shoot free throws and stuff. And you're on a real basketball court and it's like super fun. Or like a Jason Bourne-esque game where you can go off and be shooting people in like a subway station. And now we're in LA and we're lucky enough to have the first IMAX VR studio where you go in at like a movie and you buy a ticket to a VR experience and they have like a John Wick one and they have a Star Wars one and you go in and they hook you up and you can get all.
Have you gone?
No, I wanted to go and I felt guilty that I was wasting my day doing that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Have you ever taken off the headset and your wife is standing there just like.
No, I feel like I'm very cognizant of when people can come in. Like it's not in a part of the house where I would not hear. But yeah, I think that like you.
You have to
commit to be looking goofy.
Yeah.
And like, but I put my mom in it when she came over for
what
Christmas.
What did she think?
My mom loved it.
She
my
did.
Mom had a great time. And my mom was in one of the lamest ones. It was just one where you're just bopping around in an apartment. Like
she's
like, oh my God, look at these counters. I was like, all right,
is this
great.
Granite?
Like, yeah. Like she literally loved like standing out on the deck of like an apartment in New York City. Like she was like into that.
There.
And it's so. There is stuff for everyone in it. There's a Google Earth one. We can fly into the world. But that's like VR. And so like whether or not that takes off, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I find myself there. And like where do you guys fall on the stickers on iPhones? Do you guys are using stickers?
No.
I'm not. No.
Okay.
What are stickers?
Stickers on iPhone.
It's nothing like we would think of, right? Like a sticker. Like anything we know a sticker to be, this isn't what we're talking about.
It is like that.
Okay.
So basically you buy these sticker packs and, you know, and a lot of them are free, but they can be like, you know, from Marvel or, you know, La La Land has a sticker pack. And so what you do is on your text messages, like we can be texting and then I can just slap a sticker on our text message. So you're seeing this thing. So it's a visual thing that you're like, here, like I'll show you.
Are
like,
they in your messages?
Yeah. So
like an emoji?
Well, they are different than an emoji because they go over your text as if your text is a piece of paper. So like right now, you can kind of see what, you know, tell me what you all think. So this is like the Marvel pack, right?
Okay.
And so now I'm taking a sticker. It comes up here and I'm going to drag it on our text conversation. And now I just put a sticker on it.
Okay, so basically it's in the same spot where your Bitmojis emojis are. Mm-hmm. So it's another just option.
Yes.
And instead of just tapping it and having it pop into the conversation like in a linear way, yeah. you're holding it and sticking it on top of like
yeah. a text. Or you're using it to like you can put it in different ways. You don't have to put it on top of the text. You can just kind of put it
you
around.
Can put it
yeah, anywhere you want.
Yeah, because it did just cover up the text.
Right, which is kind of the greatest way to kind of fuck with people because especially on group chains, you can start just like stickering awesome. Up everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it did certainly cover up that text now, didn't it?
Yeah.
I am obsessed with the new – if you want me to go through my new things that I'm obsessed with.
Yes.
Tile is a big thing that I'm really into. And that's like that, – I think that's like a little grandma-y, but I'm still into Tile. Tile is a little small device that you put on your keys. You put in your bag, whatever you want, you put on your computer. And then if you can't find your keys, you can't find your bag, you can't find anything, you go to your phone and you hit it and it will make it ring. So like right now, I'll play it on my phone or I'll do it on my wallet because it will come out on my wallet. So right now I click it and it says it's nearby.
Your wallet. It's letting you know your wallet is nearby.
My wallet is nearby, but now they're going to, let's see.
Will it track it if it's not with you?
Oh, yeah, I may have had everything on silent. Well, yes, that's the whole thing. It's always tracking.
Okay, so if someone stole your wallet, you'd be able to see.
So now, like, I just hit find, and then you get that.
So, now his wallet is literally buzzing.
And then when I find it, I can say done. Now, meanwhile, if I can't find my phone, I just hit the one on my wallet, and then my phone rings.
Paul, is there an actual Tile piece on your wallet?
Yeah, it's really small. It's one on my keychain, too. It's like that flat little disc. And this is a really flat one.
So it's like
one.
A 2x2 kind of
and
disc.
And the one on your keys is a little bit fatter, but smaller.
And were you losing things before?
I'm always losing things now that I have like two children. I feel like nothing is ever in the spot that I want it to be in. So I'm like constantly chasing after stuff. I don't use it all the time, but every now and then. My wife, your sister, has Emily's sister.
Deanna.
Yeah. She has lost her wallet more times, and she always is losing her wallet. Wow. So I snuck one of those into her wallet, and I snuck one into her car, and I
just so we can kind of
find these things because.
Do you have any fear that the government is able to track us?
I don't care.
You don't care.
No, because you know what the truth is. Like, look.
But hold on for one second, because have we set up a situation? Mm-hmm. With our Alexa, who's listening to us at all times.
Do we have one of those, by the way?
We have an Alexa and we have a Google Home at the house.
We're literally tracking ourselves. Mm-hmm. We are having something listen to us all day long. And are we going to look back in 20 years and go, wait a minute, I can't believe we did this to ourselves. Like, gave over.
You know, I feel like... there's obviously benefits and deficits to it, right? Like, so I feel like whenever you get to use a good, like, I think that's the deal. If there's a good piece of technology, you do it. Like, we're letting people track TV. We had TV, and then people track your TV, and then they're able to make people rich and make people poor and tell you what's good and what's bad. You know, it's like, it's from the beginning of anything. Like, when you buy a magazine, you get on a list, and you're on the thing.
Right.
So we've always been tracking it. Like, and I think there's a fear, like, well, they're going to tap into your camera and watch you masturbate. They're going to, like, hear your conversations. But, you know, with the Alexa, like, that guy who killed that person, they want to, like, subpoena the Alexa tapes, and they won't let them. Like,
so
you know,
this is you can subpoena, like, Alexa tapes exist.
Not the thing that Alexa only records when you say Alexa.
Yeah. But it's always listening for Alexa.
But it's not recording or taking
anything.
And
you're sure about that.
Yes, that's the whole thing. Is like they could only take that little snug bit. But it's like, again, like, yeah, you're right. Like you're subjecting yourselves to every, you know, whatever, everything in that fine print, but you're doing that when you sign up for iTunes. Like, I think what people fail to realize sometimes is, like, it's not like, it's like one app is not going to make the difference. It's like, if you live off the grid, then you're living off the grid, and then great. Like, then you've successfully, and you're not tracked. But if you have, like, a handful of apps, the most basic of all things, an email address even. Like, look at Google. Like, they'll on your Gmail, your ads will pop up based on what you're doing. It's like
so creepy.
So it's like, but that's the price you pay. It's free email. So you're sending over that. Like, so there are these, like, benefits and deficits to all of that stuff.
So I guess the lesson we've learned here is if someone is trying to murder you, just scream out Alexa.
And then they can't get into that. Yeah.
Then it'll be recorded.
I like that. Yeah. Okay, so just...
Yes.
I think we are going to just ask you, why? Why do you think you are a human being who can be an early adapter?
And should we take a break? And
yeah, we need to do that. When we get back, we want to find out how do you think you became this person who is so willing to try stuff? Because I think we could all use a little dose of that.
This is a great cliffhanger. I can't wait for your audience to stay tuned.
Stay tuned and here it comes.
We'll be right back.
OMFG.
Do you like lavish parties? Enjoy being surrounded by sexy strangers? Love full sleeve tattoos on beautiful, strong women? I mean, who doesn't?
Get lost with the rich and famous of South Beach and find your next fling between the pages of an ebook.
You know you want it. Pick up Dusk Until Dawn, a new novel by Andy J. Christopher.
Don't swipe right on the newest release from Lyrical Press. Or you might just miss out on romance, the romance you've been dreaming of.
Dusk Until Dawn is available now everywhere ebooks are sold. Visit kensingtonbooks.com.
OMFG.
Why do potato chips that crunch louder actually taste better to us?
Do restaurants make smaller sandwiches for women than men?
And what can architects teach us about dumplings?
For answers to these questions and many more, check out the Sporkful Food Podcast.
It's a show where host Dan Pashman and his guests obsess about food to learn more about people.
As Dan says, the Sporkful isn't for foodies, it's for eaters. This week on the Sporkful, Dan talks with comic and actor Kumail Nanjiani. Kumail explains why he thinks all Islamophobes should be forced to try Pakistani food.
Check it out. Subscribe to The Sporkful today in Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts.
OMFG.
And we're back. I hope you had time to think of something.
Well, I did. I did. you know, I don't know what has made me an early adopter. I think it's fun to
I'm
see.
Saying adapter. It's adopter.
Yeah, adopter. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, I think what is kind of, I think it's fun to see what's out there. I don't know if the end result is always like it's going to stick. It's different if you're investing in things. Like, you know, like I was definitely like, I was like way into signing up for Netflix as a streaming thing. I signed up for Netflix when no one knew what Netflix was, like early on. Like I was on like a $4 Netflix plan until like they basically had to force me off of it. Like because I had signed up so early on. Like, and so like, but I'm not... It's no risk. There's no must. Like, you know, like, yeah, like sometimes, like, yeah, I didn't get a Game Boy. I got an Atari Lynx, and that sucked because I couldn't play anything with my friends.
Yeah.
But there are, like, I think it's fun to just see what else is out there, you know, like, and try to break that pattern. I don't know if I'm the best at these things. I wouldn't say, like, you know, like, I don't think that I adopt everything in a way where I'm like, oh, I'm on this, I'm on that. But it's like, we have all this information. If they are tracking us, well, let me use it, at least for that, like, to my benefit and, like, get some stuff out of it.
Yeah,
I don't
like
know.
Give it
you know
a whirl.
Yeah. But I'm not afraid to try it. I don't know, just because I've been doing it for so long. And I mean, and for high and low results. Like I just feel like it's like, oh, I want to try that thing. Let me try that thing. And then, you know, right now I have the benefit of having like Google Home and Alexa in the house and kind of seeing like what is kind of cool. And like that was something I didn't think I really wanted or needed, but now I kind of love it.
I mean, are we using it to, like, turn on the lights and turn off the lights?
No,
that?
But
like,
I have it hooked up to my Nest, which is, you know, but what I do, and then that's kind of great because you can say, like, higher or lower temperature right away. But I think what I love about the Alexa and the Google Home right now, and this is where I can't really tell their differences yet. I think Google Home is a little bit better. But is that you can get the news. It's kind of great to get the news. Like, when you're just in the kitchen or doing something, like, or in the bathroom, you're like, what's the news? and you're just kind of doing your thing and you're just hearing the news, which is kind of like an old school thing, but it's nice to do. And it's also great to be like weather and temperature and like just like things that you just have to get to your phone
for. Exactly, because you do spend time when you're, you know.
And if you're like moving around brushing your teeth and you're like, what's the temperature out? What's, how long is it going to take me to go to work? Mm-hmm. There's just like certain little things. I also especially love it for cooking.
That's what I use it for. Yeah, that's the only thing I use it for.
Really?
Yes, it's the only thing because you're hands-free and you're like, your hands are in chicken and you're like, Alexa, set the alarm for 20 minutes.
Or like tell me like, how many ounces are in a quart,
Oh my God, I do that all the time.
So that's kind of great. I love all that. But I'm always, I'm game for trying something. I want to see what it's like. And even like the 3D TV, which I do love, the reality of it is I probably have not watched anything for more than an hour in 3D TV. You know, it's like
you just are down to try.
But I want to see what it is. Yeah. I want to see what's going on and because I feel like the profession that we all are in is we're creators, we're doing things. So you should at least be seeing. It's this is going to sound really stupid, and it was not something that was the way I thought about things when I was a kid at all. I just was like, oh, they have a Sega CD, let me get that. That seems cool. Corey Feldman's in a game, I want to get that.
Right.
But I think there's something about it's like going to see art or seeing anything else. It's like technology is a form of art and progress, and it's like, oh, it's inspiring, and there's something about it that's like you get
a thrill.
Yeah, there's a thrill to it, and it's like. And that will leave you awake on a pile of crap too,
Right.
But, it's like, it's also like you get to see other people and what people are doing. And I don't know. I think it's like, I think now also with all the social media stuff, it's like a way of connecting. And I think I have an issue with that too, because I feel like, I think to myself all the time, I don't ever want to be in a relationship where a majority of my time is spent live broadcasting from my couch and that's maybe right. where I'm older when I'm alone or I just was in New York last week, I did a lot more like that, but I'm like,
but my you were instinct, promoting and you were that was what your purpose was,
yeah, but I'm like, my instinct isn't like to like get there and be like, hey, what's up, I think this or there is a little bit of a disconnect, and I think that's more of a younger thing. I do think that's
which is maybe where Snapchat shines more in that way. Just for those young voices who like those people that just want to watch someone eating nachos.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that I don't really get though sometimes is it's just also like a person just like taking their phone and going around a room where it's like there's like no content there. And I feel like that's the one thing that I get worried about with all these these platforms to provide content. And I've done that. It's like you do need to have content. Like that's the one thing. It's like, and I think it's like we've made it easy for people to make content, but content isn't just like literally hitting record. And I think that that's what it's starting to devolve into. And because certain things where people are just hitting record are getting a lot of views, and now people are like, well, we can just make it for cheaper.
And it's no problem.
Like there's a difference between what you see if you watch The Crown at $13 million an episode on Netflix versus maybe an ad, something you're watching on full screen, which is just a video version of a podcast. They both are great, but one is going to give you there is a benefit to real
production
clear
value.
Content. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I think there are people on YouTube who do amazingly cool, funny, interesting, dramatic, even makeup tutorials. Go for it. That's great. That is content. But there's, for all the good content, there is so much.
There's a pile.
Pile of just
piles.
Useless content.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it wasn't funny. It's useless.
Mind-numbing.
Yeah, and it's sort of why, what's going on here? I don't mind if you want to make your own cooking show and you kind of don't do it great, but you're doing it. That's content. All for it. But, it's almost like calling up a suicide hotline. It's they'll stay on as long as you are. They're not going to hang up on you. So these people are just sort of no one can shut me off. Yep. So that's it. And I don't know if that's the best thing.
Well, we had a young girl on who the show where you do stand up.
Oh, Last Comic Standing.
Yeah, Brittany. Right.
Brittany.
Oh, good old Brittany.
Tough sell. But we had one of the young comics on from Last Comic Standing, and we had the realization.
Taylor Tomlinson. She's great.
I love it.
She's awesome.
Sounds great. Brittany, good old Brittany Taylor Tomlinson.
But she
made a real impact on YouTube.
We had the realization. She's about 25, yeah, something like that. She's probably the last round of kids, right, who will actually be doing the road for stand-up.
Right.
Like it will writing jokes on paper and taking it to the
street. Oh, I don't know
street.
About that.
Are you sure?
I'm positive of that. I think really? That, like, live theater performance comedy will always, like, look, that's not to say that there won't be someone on YouTube that's making funny Family Guy voices that are getting like $100,000 a year in paid sponsorship. And that's probably even a super low number for YouTube. But it's like there will always be that. But you can't discount, like, people want to go out. Like, there are.
But those, she was saying, now out on the road,
yeah,
those YouTubers, those Viners are out, they're doing live shows.
But so that discounts what you're saying then, right?
Well, not, I hear what you're saying. But
they've risen up through their channel.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
They're not pounding the pavement.
But I think you could argue that in a different way too. Like, you can say, like, these actors, right? The actors, like, they were, you know, they trained, they studied, and then all came these stand-up comics, and then they started taking all these acting jobs, mm-hmm, and now all of a sudden they're the stars of sitcoms, but
right,
these serious actors.
You just described yourself.
Yeah, there you go. There I am. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, there's always going to be, like, they don't deserve to be in the spot that I am because I worked to get up here the way. And then then all you're being is, like, I'm mad at them because they figured out a back door when I had to work my ass off to get there.
I don't think it's bad. I just think it's so different.
It's
yes.
a different door.
It's so
right.
different.
Right, because you're going to activate, like, look, if you have a bunch of people on YouTube watching you do your stuff. But again, if it's funny, you can't discount it. Like, I've always thought, like, somebody, like, when people, like, shit on, you know, whoever, I'm just pulling these people because they're, like, the
names,
ultimate people
yeah.
that you shit on. Like, the Dane Cooks, the Larry the Cable Guy, all that sort of stuff. I always say, like,
Carrot Top,
the one of the most unfairly maligned people.
Thank
in
you,
the
Paul.
Sense that, like, the world decided that he sucked. Like, and that's a really, like, crazy thing. Like,
yeah.
like, it was like, you suck. And that, like, as a performer, as everything, it's like, that's like, the fact that the guy doesn't kill himself
yeah.
is crazy.
He's got his whole new magic career.
Yeah.
So. I thought he was a magician. Go on.
Oh, him and Brittany are going to go on the road. But his, what I always say about that stuff is, it may not be your cup of tea, right? You know, but to a stadium full of people, it is.
Right.
Like, and you can't discount that. If that makes somebody laugh. And I mean, I feel like I definitely put my toe in another side of that pond, which is, like, I do stuff sometimes that is just for such a small group of people because it makes me laugh. And it, you know, yeah. going back to what you said about Arshirio Paul, like Arshirio Paul, which is a thing that I did because someone came to me and they said, hey, what's something you can do? No one will ever let you do, but we have money to make you do something. I was like, I would like to do reenactments of the Arsenio Hall show. And they let me do it. Like, who was that for? Like,
yeah.
No
me.
One.
Emily, yeah, I mean, Emily Frieda Foster. Goddamn Foster.
But I love doing that. And that was, like, super fun. It was, like, a weird, like, almost performance arty in a weird way. Like, I got, like, you know, Seth Rogen to play Gary Coleman and Jack McBrayer to play Steven Seagal and Adam Pally and Alison Brie to play Rosie O'Donnell and Madonna. Like, and then from doing that show, so I got on Arsenio Hall as Arshirio Paul. He had no idea what was going on. And he
yeah.
thought I was a YouTuber.
Right.
Like, he literally thought, he's like, man, you keep on working, you come out here to Hollywood. And now at this point, not like, look, I
no,
know I'm not
no,
like, you
toot,
know,
toot.
I'm not breaking the star meter on IMDb, but I was on the, you know, I had at that point, that was like in year five of the league or year six. I had done a couple of TV shows. I'd been in a handful of movies. Like, you know, I was like, hey, duh. Like, I wasn't like coming out. But he, like, in his mind, he's like, oh,
that's
this guy's on YouTube doing an impression of me.
Right.
Like, he doesn't know, you know. So, but, you know, but, like, that's like, so, yeah, like, like, I think there should be, like, worlds where you can do something, like, really small, like, for that audience. And I love it. And it was, like, the most fun to do. And then there can be something, like, really broad. Like, Carrot Top sells out every single night. Like, who's doing that? Like, you know, yeah. It's like, and he's doing Vegas, and people clearly love it. Like, I remember seeing him on this documentary called Heckler, which, if you have not seen it, it's great. It's on Netflix.
Jamie Kennedy?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I've seen that.
It's great. And there was, like, and somebody basically, like, says to Carrot Top, like, what do you say to all those people out there that say that you suck, essentially? Like, that's the question. And he goes, I would just say, like, come see the show. Like, see the show and see what you think. Because, and there is something about that where it's like, yeah, like he, and look, he's laughing all the way at bank. He's not going bankrupt. Right. Like, that show is, I remember I used to tour around the country, and I wish I had all these things back then because I would have amused myself more, you know. But maybe I would have cut off social interaction too. But we always followed Carrot Top. And wherever we went, Carrot Top was always like one step ahead of us and would always have like killer numbers. Like, it was always like, oh, well, Carrot Top sold this place out two shows in a night. And it's like, oh, well, he's doing something right. Yeah. You know, I mean.
Okay, Paul, we have a quick.
Sorry.
No, this is all really good. And it's coming to an end. And we have a quiz for you. And we want to find out if you are old. So we want to just see your knowledge.
I probably will be old.
So we'll just see. Are you old or are you not old?
Right.
We're going to have a couple questions.
I think you're younger than you think.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. Your finger's on the goddamn pulse. Finish this phrase. Cash me outside.
Cash me outside. No, you see, like, slang is not my...
No, look, it's okay.
Yeah, slang is not my thing.
It's good to not know.
Like, cash me outside, like
C-A-S-H.
Like, yeah, okay, cash me outside. I don't know.
Yep, and it's good to not know.
What is it?
There was a young gal who made her way on to the Dr. Phil show, and she was just, you know, 13. She's real street.
Yeah. Oh, I do think I saw. Okay, yes. Okay.
And she said to the audience, they were like confronting her, and she was like, "Cash me outside. How about that?"
Got it. Okay. See, this is where there are, like, I actually feel like I deal in memes and see things, but my memory of, like, I'm never that person to be like. Yeah, like, I can't quote a movie for the life of me. But let's see. Okay, let's
keep
see.
Going.
Yep. Let's see.
Okay, is Salt Bae an A, boyfriend that throws shade?
I know what Salt Bae is.
Popular meme of a guy throwing salt
on
steak.
That's
it, B. All right, we'll move on.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Okay. I took a picture of myself outside at Katsuya. I had to stage for the blank. I took a pic of myself outside of Katsuya because I needed to stage for the...
Likes?
Close.
Okay.
For the gram.
Okay, great. All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're staging it for the gram. You didn't even eat there.
Right.
You just staged it.
Got it.
And these are takeaways.
I didn't hear it like that. Okay, got it.
Yeah, yes,
okay,
I'm sure the presentation wasn't great. But
no,
I also want you to not think of these as failures, but takeaways.
No, I love it all. Okay, I'm into it. Yeah.
All right. Here's the next one. When someone says the premiere of Girls, deceased. What do they mean?
That you got, like, it killed me.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
Very nice.
Two out of four so far.
Okay. There's an app called Mend.
Okay.
Does it help you, A, get over a breakup, B, give first aid, or C, learn how to sew?
I believe I do know this, and I think it's learn how to sew, right? No. No. Mend is... get over a breakup, right?
Ding, you got ding, it. Ding. You went one way, but then you came and got right where you needed to be.
Sorry.
You're doing great.
I had to remember
last question.
I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, here it is. Homie swapping means A, finding a new boyfriend, B, having a three-way with two dudes, or C, sleeping with one dude and then swapping for his friend.
Okay.
Or D, truffle butter.
I think it's the swapping that, like, that's how I've heard the thing, like, where you swap out in the middle of sex, like that thing.
Oh.
Right?
Well, we probably need more clarity, but we learned it to be like, it does sound right.
Yeah.
That does sound right. It probably is a version of homie swapping.
I've heard about a famous celebrity that has a guy that kind of looks like him, and they swap out in the middle.
Oh my God. That actually is a thing.
Like a stunt
double? Yeah. So that's why, yeah.
Sexual stunt double.
Yeah, like, they kind of, like, that's their, like, kind of trick that they kind of pull. Well, I can't say it on the air.
Is it real?
I've heard from a pretty direct person that was pretty
real.
You're
sweeping.
But what did you have it as? What did you have it as?
Sleeping with one dude and then swapping for his friend.
Okay, yeah, so that's right. So I was right. All right, so yeah.
We just didn't think of it quite as, like,
in the
act.
We didn't think of it, like, so literal.
Oh, okay.
More
the one thing that I feel like I was a part of popularizing, which I'm happy to be a part of, was the League popularized
Eskimo Brothers,
which is the same idea.
Totally. And then they came up on The Bachelor.
That was a very high moment for us.
Yeah.
Cool.
You did middle old. You're middle old. Yeah. Middle age.
I think, what did I miss? I missed the first one.
Catch Me Outside. How about that? It's better not to know that. Okay. So feel good about that one.
All right. I feel good about that.
Salpa, you killed it on stage for the gram. Look, I think the presentation was off.
Stage for the gram, stage for the likes. I feel like I was thinking it as I'm in that ballpark. Yeah, 100%. That's a 50. I got half on that.
Deceased, you got. Mens, you got. Homie swapping. You know what? You did great. You're actually young.
I thought that's how you were presenting homie swapping, and that's why I connected to it.
Yeah. Right.
But I didn't realize that you viewed it as like
if Emily and I dated the same guy, we would be homie swapping.
But that would be Eskimos.
Eskimo brother. No.
It's like that episode of Seinfeld where he wants to
you
do
date
the other roommate.
One guy, and then you date some of his friends. That's homie swapping.
Oh, so
how it was presented to us.
So you're saying it's sort of like you go around the robin of – so like a lot of times in like a theater scene, you're kind of homie swapping because you're all – everyone's sitting with each other.
Perfect. Perfect environment to homie swap in a theater, like when you're a theater nerd.
So it's a little bit, you know, not slut shaming because it's going either way. It's just sort of like sleeping around with the same group of people.
Correct.
Okay. Interesting.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you. I hope this was I don't know.
I do know. I really know. You don't?
I have a bunch of words written down that I don't even know what they mean. That's what you've given us.
Oh, all right. I will take it.
Oculus.
You gave us a lot of knowledge.
Nest cams. Guys, are you on Nest cams?
Tilt brush.
Nest cam.
I feel like are you dealing with the home kit for your phone where you have all of your automated home stuff on your iPhone?
I only do Nest. Nest is the only thing that I'm really
automated. What about you don't have the lights, the Hues?
No. Okay. They seem expensive to me.
Oh.
Yeah,
found his breaking point.
Yeah, there was something about it. I was like, and I go back and forth because I'm like, oh, there is something nice about being able to control the lights with your phone, but I'm like, I can get up and do that too.
Right, right.
Whereas like the thermostat, I wasn't buying that because I wanted to control it by my phone. It's a nice addition to it.
Right.
But there is something nice like when you're in bed and you're like, I want to be hotter and like I don't, and I'm in, like I'm in bed. Like,
right.
There's something nice about
that. There is something nice about just controlling it. You have your show, Drive Share.
Drive Share. 30 episodes are up online on Go90. It's totally free. There's no credit card. There's no sign up. There's no service. It's not like Netflix.
Do I have to get followers?
No, you don't have to do anything. No, but okay. I've gotten to do so many different shows, and I'm always like, well, if you sign up for full screen, this is just a website. Go to go90.com. There is an episode every single day of the week until there are 30 of them, and we're almost. This is by the time this airs, it'll all be up.
And it's super funny. It's basically the idea is like the relationship between an Uber driver and the passengers.
Yeah, it's a sketch comedy show in an Uber. So every episode is about 2 to 3 rides with a different driver and a different passenger. And they have people like Adam Pally and Andy Daly and Scott Aukerman and Paul F. Tompkins. We also have Jason Mantzoukas. Like so many great, funny. Paul Scheer, Awkwafina. Have you ever had Awkwafina on your show yet?
No.
Awkwafina, she's great.
We need her right now.
Yeah, she's amazing. We have a lot of great people.
What is Awkwafina?
Awkwafina is a personality, a funny, super funny person. She's right now going to be in the new all-female Ocean's 11.
Ooh, we need her.
But yeah, I don't know how she started her claim to fame, but she's like hilarious and very, you know, she's very, I think, right in your world.
Nice.
Right in your world.
Done.
All right, and gosh, Garnet, we did it. And Paul, we can find you on Twitter and Instagram at Paul Scheer because you lock those shits down early and often.
Yes. And then Snapchat is the
Paul Scheer.
I got there a little bit late. I don't know who has Paul Scheer on Snapchat. I should find out.
It's definitely not the political guy.
No, it's definitely not. Yeah, I should find out.
Well, and then like people can just steal it because they like Paul Scheer, right?
Well, I will see. I don't know how many there's like celeb. It's not like I'm like Justin Bieber or something like that.
I see.
I will tell you that I was on a podcast where I made a call out to find my stepsister, and they did it. And within 10 minutes, it was like a live podcast.
What?
Yeah. And so I was able to basically say like, hey, I had a stepsister. Can you find them? And they found them pretty immediately.
That's insane.
Yeah. That's an interesting thing about this stuff too. And I did some searching for it and they found it.
Who's they? The people?
The people listening.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Did stepsister want to be found?
Well, it wasn't like they didn't like contact her and say like get in touch. I could just kind of stalk. I can kind of like Facebook stalk a little bit and just check it out and then be like, cool.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, have we contacted stepsister?
No.
Okay.
No reason to. I mean, no, and like, and not, no, no, no.
With all due.
With all due. It's like, well, why? Well, I'm going to say hi.
Yeah.
I was more interesting for me to stalk around.
You just want to take a look.
Yeah. Take a peek.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
OMFG! Paul Scheer brought the heat.
You know, he's just such a lovely man. And I really just feel thankful that he spent an hour with us here today.
He did. He graced us.
Yeah. It was real nice.
And he came in. It came in hot.
Really hot. And I, like, you know, I've always known that, you know, like, I remember when Periscope came out, I was hip to it because you were hip to it through Paul. You
right.
know what I mean? It's now long gone. But, you know, I've known that he's a finger on the pulse man. But what I didn't know was all these terms were going to fly out of his mouth that made no sense. Like Vive and Oculus and PSVR, tilt brush. I don't know what these
Who
are.
Who knows? But it was great to listen to.
Look.
And they washed over us, some of them. Whew. But I feel when they do hit, because he is about 2 years, he seems like he's got 6 months to 2 years on everything.
Yeah.
So when we do hear tilt brush in common conversation, we'll be like, oh, that's what Paul was talking about with his VR glasses, where he was painting within his environment.
Are you going to pick up any glasses?
No. I will not be purchasing. No. Will I get in and try to get into that environment that Paul Scheer offered? Yes, I will want to try what that's like, and I want to try my tilt brush out.
Okay.
I want to try that.
Yeah, I would try it.
Yeah, I mean, I totally want to try that. I don't need to be sitting in VR glasses for my life.
No. I mean, I feel like you have to be sort of a video game player in order to accept that amount of, like, weird screen time.
Yeah.
Like, weird playful screen time.
I will say what they haven't worked on is not looking like a total douchebag.
No, that's correct.
Like, you look like a doucherama in these things. You guys, Paul Scheer is not only an actor on all those things we rattled off on in the beginning, but he is also one of the hosts of How Did This Get Made here at Earwolf. Fantastic podcast. They watch bad movies and talk about it. It's Paul Scheer, Jason Manzoukas, and June Diane Raphael, and it is hilarious. So go ahead and give that a listen.
And you can see us on Instagram and Twitter at OMFGpod.
March yourself over to Facebook, and we are at Earwolf OMFG.
And then if you're bored, head on over to iTunes. Leave us a review. You can subscribe. You can give us a rating. It's our favorite thing.
Yeah, and every time you do that, we climb up those iTunes charts. and don't forget to go pay a little attention to DriveShare. It is on go90.com and see Paul's fun sketch comedy show in Uber-esque environments.
Awesome. I'm Emily Foster at Frida Foster.
And I'm Deanna Chang at Deanna Raphael.
Bye.
OMFG.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm the host of a show called In Your Dreams.
I had a dream that I was in my basement, and I very enthusiastically cut off my left hand.
Alongside my very good friend and dream analyst, Gary Richardson. This was a show where we started off, we said we were going to analyze dreams. We said people could call in, let us know about their dreams, and we'd break them down.
When I do have dreams, I call them like reality mares.
That dream made me want to throw up. That was disgusting. But I'll say, pretty much right out of the gate, things got a little crazy.
What are we doing? What the hell is this?
You're going to put a fucking mattress ahead of our friendship?
Find out what went down. Walk into the heart of darkness with us. It's like my personal apocalypse now. Listen to In Your Dreams, very kindly presented by the folks at Casper. It's only on Earwolf. It's one of the things I'm most proud of. Comedically, I think it's pretty strange, pretty funny, and I think you will enjoy it. Thanks so much.
This has been an Earwolf production. Executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.